I don't know how many gatherings we've had, Carol, since first Sunday in May of 2005. I didn't calculate that one. And I can figure it up probably, but it's been a couple. Miss Vicki, you've been there since the beginning. Doors up. And so we just want to briefly discuss the ministry, how it got started, and some of the lives that you touched. And we'll break bread together and be encouraged. But it's all for God's glory. And it just shows that you never know what God has in store for you. You know? You might think that your life is you already got to figure out you're done, and you're just kind of coasting right now. And next thing you know, boom, the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, "Now we're going to go this way now." And then whatever He brings you into, you start looking back, and you can see the things that you come through in your lifetime. And all that is what God is using now to take you forward. But He's using your past for the future of other people, you know, to encourage them. A lot of us have been through stuff here, and as we look at the Word of God and we look at ourselves, we can minister with other folks and share what God brought us through. So we got a couple of slides we'll show you here. And just we have a picture of our first church that we was in. There it is. That's where the church started. I won't go to my testimony being born again, but as we went through, I got saved and we had a Bible study at the house, and God called me into the ministry about 2 years before I retired from the sheriff's department. Carol and I started studying together. And anyways, in April of, April 2005, as we know that the Lord's called us into ministry and stuff, and God laid upon our heart to start a church. And my question to God was, why do you need another church in Coshocton? I mean, I counted that time like 114 churches in the phone book, you know. But, you know, God didn't answer me. But He just told me to start. And so we was praying about it, and we was at a dinner, and Vicki's husband Steve was there. And God just spoke to my heart, "You start the church and Steve will come." And, well, we started for many reasons, but He focused on Steve. And I'm telling you what, Steve came, did he not? Your husband came, his life to Christ, back on target. And he even built the restroom inside that wall there, the bathroom, you know. So I think I might take church back out there because I need a shower built next. So if anybody's volunteering, you know. But yeah, I'll be up here. Looking out that window, that's our bedroom window. On 17 years ago, I think, is anybody going to come? Anybody going to show up? Well, you knew they were going to because God laid our heart to start it. But we got to the point where we would return our front yard into a parking spot. We took all our furniture out of our family room here, and we brought started buying folding chairs and putting them up. It was funny when we first started, though, because folks, we started at 10:30, and people would get there at 10 o'clock because they want the couch or the recliner, because that's what we had downstairs. And old Sonny, he's over here on the wall right there, he always didn't get there first because he wanted a recliner to sit in it. And then someone bought a coffee pot because in our hearts, when I was going to church, first got born again, we'd always leave the church and go eat somewhere. I mean, it might be 20 of us over at Bob Evans or someplace. So it's always been in my heart, but it really get kind of expensive to do that every Sunday and Wednesday night and stuff. And so we started the ministry. God laid it on our heart to have cookies after the service because it's fellowship. I remember, believe it or not, one time I had a person allow me to work at Habitat for Humanity, believe it or not. And I was painting. And inside this house we were working on, a gentleman was painting here and a lady was painting down here. They was talking back and forth. And they found out they both go to the same church and they didn't know each other. And I thought, wow. So some churches, large churches, they have core groups, or they might have maybe Vicki today, she'll take out so many ladies to the dinner and talk to them or whatever, you know. But for us, we gather here and we saw cookies the first week, and Brother Dick bought a coffee pot for us. And we had on a timer, so when you knew the coffee pot kicked on, you had 20 minutes, I'd be done with my sermons. I kept people going. And also the same place where little lady come to me after the service one Sunday, and she says, "Now, preacher," he says, "Now, you're doing a good job, but if you want to talk a little bit longer, you're welcome to. Because I have a sermon about 15 minutes, because when you were through the training, that's what they taught you. And then you learn later on, along the Holy Spirit's moving, then you bring out the message." So, but there's a song, in those days, we used the auto harp. And I asked Carol to share a song from the old auto harp from days gone by, but it really speaks to us. We opened the church up. We have people so we're coming back to church. They've been away from church, and this song here speaks so much of Steve and also of her dad, Larry Griffin, who was out of church for many years, and then he came back to church. But this is our praise and worship team for a while, with the auto harp, and later on we had some guitars come in and stuff. But and like I said earlier, folks, you come here today and you need to be somewhere, don't be afraid to go. Okay, I mean, we all have schedules. Some people that work, you gotta babysit, you gotta get this ready. We understand that. Okay, just we let him move in here, the Holy Spirit. So this here is icing on the cake.
Today I went back to the place where I used to go. Today I saw that same old crowd I knew before. When they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them. Thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Well, thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. While the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. And then we went back to the house where we used to live. My little boy, he ran and hid behind the door. I said, "Son, don't be afraid, you got a new daddy now. It's thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, we're not the family we used to be. And thanks to Calvary, things are different than before." While the tears ran down my face, thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. While the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, it's thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore.
Amen. Man, beautiful. Thanks to Calvary, you know. And, you know, if we hadn't started the church, I mean, God would have raised up a church somewhere, a ministry that he wanted. But to listen to the Holy Spirit and to yield to it and to be part of salvation, sharing the gospel and stuff, really, I mean, it is a thrill. We've all been involved in ministry. You know how great it is. But just to be used by God. You know, so we gather out here quite some time. I don't have a picture of Tiny Tim, but during this time I'm milking cows in the evenings, and we bring home a little runt calf We called him Tiny Tim, and we started feeding him out, and Vicky got upset because she knew I was going to eat him sometime, and I go out and give him a daisy to eat, and thinking, boy, he'll be tasting pretty good, but eventually the cow got too big, and they started jumping fences, chasing people around, so we had to take him back over the farm and let him grow up, and that was 17 years ago. He's still alive, Vicky. Yeah, he's just out there walking around and stuff. So. Yeah, okay. But as we gathered out here, the time came that we were working on a board, a school board, Christian school board, and I had to call a gentleman down in, I think, Georgia, who was a bishop of a church up here in Coshocton, about getting some emergency lights. When I called the guy, talking to him, what was going on, he said, hey, listen, if you guys are looking for a place in town, we have a church, there's only about five or six people left there, maybe you talk with them and work out a deal, you run our church. And so we ended up going down to East Main Street, the Episcopal Church up here, is across from Muskingum Valley Lumber, if you're familiar. And went in and we talked to them and had a gathering. And they said, well, okay, well, I'll tell you what, you come in next Sunday and bring us a message, and maybe we'll rent this place to you. And, of course, that's during the week when they called me back to make sure I understood that whatever I had to say, I could say it in 15 minutes. So went down and shared the gospel with them, and they agreed to rent us the church out. And so they had the church from 11 to 12 every Sunday, and we had it from 12 o'clock to the following Sunday at 11. Because there's down to about 7 or 8 people left in the church, and at that time they were all in their 80s and 90s. And I'll tell you, one of the ladies sat on the board, she's 101 years old, and we're expecting this weekend her to go home be with the Lord. I was down seeing her yesterday down in Zanesville. But anyway, they agreed to rent us the church. We paid $400 a month rent, and we were there for a year. And I was there for a year, and during that period of time, God laid upon our heart to start serving soup the last Sunday of the month. And so we had the service at, I think we were gathered at noon, I think it was. Yeah, at noon. And which is really nice in wintertime. Time you got up and come to church, the roads are already cleared off and stuff. And we had it after their service, so they cleaned the sidewalks. So, but we had soup at last Sunday of the month. And we might serve maybe 20 people, whoever would come for dinner. It was downstairs. The steps were terrible going up and down. But one night, having service about a year later, talking to the Lord, and he asked me this question. He said, you want to stay where you're at, or you want to go? I want you to go. And I know I want to go where the Lord wants us to go. So me and Carol started walking Main Street praying, because we knew somewhere down here God wanted us. And as we come along, we came across a for rent sign in front of this window here. And this place was owned by Mr. Skelton next door. It used to be a coffee house. And so we prayed about it, and God brought confirmation, and we walked over and talked to Mr. Skelton about renting it. And it was amazing, because he told me, well, I'm not sure. He says, I got a person who wants to take a five-year lease on it. I said, oh, okay, well, that's okay. And I'm not signing a lease that long, because God might want to go somewhere else. He said, oh, go ahead, you have it. So we shook hands. We never signed a piece of paper, never had a contract. That was 17 years ago. I was 16 years ago. We moved here the first October of 2006. And then the years, he never changed your rent, never raised it or nothing. But we moved in. We tore the church apart. I have back on the back part of it is on the monitor back here. I'll show you how we tore the church apart and tore down the coffee bar that was across here. And we made the altar out of it. We've had Passover service. You can watch these slides too, honey. That way you got something you want to add to them. Okay. Feast of Booths of Tabernacle, we celebrated that, and it was an awesome time that we have here. Hanukkah is some of the celebrations we've gone through here. Fun shopping at Sam's Club. That's Marvin and Jack down there shopping. I'd never send them down there again after they got through out of there. Brother Joe, again, fixing the church up, painting the church. I don't know who that lady is behind him. And we used to go up to Holmes County. above Millersburg, and they gave us all the cereal we wanted. And that's the load of cereal we were bringing back. And this particular day, we find out I needed a truck cap because it started raining in Millersburg. We had to run to Walmart and buy a cap to put on it. A tarp to put on. Yeah, we got a cap later on. Some of the stuff we did on Main Street. Yeah, she's right here. Yeah. Yep. Was reaching out to the community. And the coat drives. And the church up on the hill. The church we just moved from. For down here. On one particular Sunday, my mother-in-law came to me and said she had a few items she wanted to share with other people. Like, she put up a card table and passed them out to people. We just put them up there for free. She put a card table up, put a couple knickknacks on it, and it started people bringing things in to give out to other people who didn't need it. And then as we moved down to here, it started growing more and more, and we had coats that came into it, a big coat rack out front. People saw we were giving coats away, so they started bringing coats and clothing. And it got to the point where we were giving us the whole estates and stuff to people. I mean, we were going around the city for several years and delivering furniture and stuff. And well, that part of the ministry we did for quite some time, but then God pulled us away from that. Partially beginning kind of old. And this is Brother Bill and some of the Christmas caroling we've done at care centers. Christmas caroling by phone turned out to be very popular. COVID come along, and so we still want to do Christmas caroling, so we started calling our Christmas people we would sing to on the phone, on speakerphone. We'd all gather and do Christmas caroling over the phone. And we have one lady, every year she's our last lady we sing to, and she always gives us a big fat candy bar, our favorite stop. And by golly, we called her and sang to her. And later that week, she sent her aide in with a big bag of candy bars for us, so we still got our candy bar that time. Now, up here it says 17 years, I should say, yeah, 17 years of meals. Approximately 247,800 meals we have served through the church. We think it might be a little bit more than that because Daryl's been known to go back a couple of times and fill his plates up, so I'm not sure. But again, just when the Lord started the ministry, if he would have told us that, you know, at one time we were serving 19,000 meals a year, if he's going to tell you that we're going to do that, boy, it'd be kind of scary. But we start off 20 bowls of soup a month, and then before the pandemic, we would serve easily 80, 85 meals a day. But then when the pandemic hit, a lot of folks who come in, we minister to, started staying away. And they haven't come back yet. That's my mother-in-law. That is my... Yeah, okay, I thought it was my dartboard at home for a second. I wasn't sure, so... Nah. Sweet lady. No. That poor lady, when she met me, her daughter was dating a Catholic boy, and boy, she's, oh, my, my, my. But she found out that was the best thing ever happened, didn't she? She fell in love with me. Yep, yep, yep. I won her over. Yep. Oh, my. Again, some more items we were giving away. I mean, it was a lot of work. All the stuff we store downstairs, we bring up once a month and have a large giveaway and helping people out. Pastor Peter, he's the pastor that spoke over me when I first got born again. Prophesied I was going to be a pastor. I went down to see him. I was walking down there like the Calvary line. I was shaking. Just newly born again, I went down because he was praying over people and speaking over them. I went down like, he's a tall guy. And I didn't really hear what he said, but Carol told me later on. And so as we started the ministry, then he was the first outreach that we had. And till this day, we still support him. At one time, it was $25 a month and $30, then $35. And now what we give, and you folks kicking in too, is normally it's over $200 a month we get to send to him to help out with his orphanage he has over in Nigeria. And he's in the middle of Muslim territory. And in fact, his dad was a witch doctor. But he's raising up children in the ways of the Lord to minister to other ones. So that's an awesome ministry that he does. There's Kenny and LaVeda. He was back speaking one time. He comes back about every 2 years. And I don't know, but I think we were over at the Tabernacle maybe when he came. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah. If you ever get a chance to hear him speak, he's awesome. Kind of, he's got a real thick dialogue, but he's an awesome, yeah. And Dolores and Opal, man, I don't know how many lunches they prepared, and it was awesome. Several my pounds around my waist belongs to Opal. And Dolores, when she had went to heaven, her family, Daryl and them, got us Dolores' picture right here on the cross here as a memorial. And so we put it here because Dolores sat here every day for free lunch, and she did the count for us and stuff. And it was a couple of years after we had mounted it, I thought, man, it's a good idea to remember people. So that's how the wall got started. Yeah. Oops. There's Bonnie Servin and Aaron. And of course, Bill, you can tell we do a lot of eating around here. Yeah. And that's kind of blurry there, but they had a... on Main Street, they had the old fashioned cruise. They come and cruise on a Saturday night, and you bring canned goods. They had a battle between the schools, and they gave us all the food. That's in the hair there. It's kind of hard to see. Yeah. Oh, there I am. Coming through my surgery I talked about earlier. So, awesome. If you ever got to go to the hospital, I suggest Cleveland Clinic, the main branch, because they got a Starbucks inside the place. Yep. Yeah, there we go. Cooking. I don't know who they were walking down the street. Hey, yeah. Flipping burgers for Jesus. Amen. See that sign there? I saw that type of sign in New York City, Times Square Church. And I had a gentleman, but his name, he's from Fresno, Schroyer, his name. He stopped by one day and he brought me a little wooden cross. I said, hey, can you make something like this? And I think his name is Johnny. Johnny or Jim, one of the two Shorters. Jim, oh, thank you. And he went home and made that and brought it in. Man, it's awesome. Well, bingo, we used to gather every New Year's Eve and play bingo, have a great time. And then we always had fellowship and praise and worship ringing the new year. Oh, that was our baptismal. Hey, David. See, David? You're filling the hole up. Yeah. We got a smaller one there. Mr. and Mrs. Akins. 40 degrees that day when we did baptism out of Mrs. Shoemaker's. I'm tired of seeing goosebumps. What's going on? Oh, sweet Nancy. Some folks cannot bend to get into the pool, so we pour water over top of you. Still submerge it with water that runs down the top. A lot of lives your ministry has touched, guys. Sometimes you think, man, you're making a difference. Look at the lives that you've touched. I know the guy with the balloons, I'm not sure who he is. He's always eating too, isn't he? Yeah, there he is. Yeah, green beans, yeah, green beans are fries. Yep. Oh, my. Yeah, just baptizing people on Main Street on a Friday night. Oh, who's that lady on there? Yep. She talked to me. She said, don't listen to Bob. Don't hold me down more than 1 minute. No. More food donations that came in. Our toy giveaway we had. Oh, my. Shucking corn for Jesus. Yep. Yeah, cleaning. Daryl back there smiling, yeah. Used to have TV here for a few years. People come in and watch TV while they ate dinner. A celebration, Mrs. Shoemaker, at the altar they made for me at home. After this cross here is, we just noticed second, third week into the service that we didn't have a cross. So Kathy Snyder took paper and made us a cross. That was a cross at home for a long time. It was funny, on the first service we had, they come up to us and where's your offering container? Offering? Well, we weren't thinking about we need an offering for it. We don't have it in the house. No. We're going to give money to the Lord. And so we started taking an offering in a change jar. He came by Mrs. Maple, Mom Maple. She said, we always have a change jar every church I go to, and that's money. If you need to buy something real quick, you can reach in there and grab some money. So there's a lot of prime rib in there and stuff. But if you need light bulbs or something, that's what that's used for. Yeah, she's up here on the wall, right there. Okay. Next slide. Oh, okay. Baby dedications we've had. That's awesome. Yeah. Patient. Yep. Well, we're patient, but you see where we ended up at, didn't you? Long John Silver, so, yeah. Mike Wright, yeah, that's a lady right there. She wanted to come to me one Sunday after service up there on the hill. She said, preacher, she says, here. Shook my hand and gave me some money. She said, go buy some teeth. So I owe my teeth to Mrs. Mom Maple. And then about, it was like 6 months before that, she come to me. She says, my kids tell me I shouldn't drive anymore. She said, give me keys to her car. So we had a car she gave us. And it was a Chrysler LeBaron. It had 225,000 miles on it. And we passed on this to another person. When it was an awesome car. So, yep. And she's the one that told me that I could preach a little bit longer. So, it's her fault. Yep. She's the one that started the change jar. So, and she's the one that had us have a cookbook at that time, too, if you remember. Yep. There's Bonnie and Polly serving this. No. That's Brother Wayne and Joe and Kathy and John and Rita, yep. Yeah. Rita will be traveling a lot this month. Her and her two friends are going to stay at each other's houses for a while, so she won't be here some Sunday. The other Sunday she'll be here with her friends. So, all right, 125 plus people have come to know Christ, but we dedicate our lives to the ministry that we know of. And how many more, I'm not sure. And we do a lot of ministry on the streets and stuff, and so I believe a lot of folks come to know Christ. But we sow the seeds. Yeah, oh, it's Tracy and Mike. Dolores and Stanley Mason. He was a hoot. He came to church one Sunday because we had a wedding, and he heard me preaching, and he came back in during that week of snowing outside, and I was cooking on the grill. And he's the one that comes to me. This is how he talks. He says, preacher, so I heard you talking Sunday. I'm coming next Sunday. I'm going to get myself saved. I said, well, Stanley, if the Lord is talking to you right now, today is the day of salvation. So we stood out there at that grill on fire in the snow, and we prayed he received Christ as Savior and Lord. I'm telling you what, he caught on fire in Jesus. And he started coming in, serving the ministry, cooking eggs for us. He left home. Well, look at my eyeballs. He left home for 17 years on the truck. He got into it, and I mean, to look at it, he'd be like a Hell's Angel. But God touched his life and turned him upside down. And I'll share this because he told the same story. He come to me one day, we come for a while, he says, you know, Pastor, he says, I wouldn't mind getting myself a good woman getting married. Well, I said, well, Stanley, I said, that's nothing wrong with that. He said, well, I got a problem. I said, what's that? He said, well, I got to get divorced first. I said, well, he said, yeah, him and his wife had fallen out like 30 years earlier, and so he just took off. But I'm not speaking against it, because he would tell you the same thing and laugh and stuff, you know. But yeah, he was someplace, he drove a truck all over the United States, and they got an argument one time, and she jumped on the back of the bobtail, that's without the trailer. And it's like 20 below zero, and he made it right back here about 20 miles. And she got in the truck, and she was like frozen. So, might be a reason why they kind of split up, you know. So, that was before he knew Jesus. So, that was before Jesus. They had Mrs. Shoemaker's done our outdoor services, our picnics, and her dad's place of rest. We had 102 going home parties we've had to the ministry here. And that's our first Friday night. We had our first Friday gospel sing. So the church used to be down this end. And the reason we changed it, more room this way, but a couple of times people jumped the curb and started coming towards your window. And we thought we'd rather lose you guys than us, so we got to move things around. Hey, I got to be honest, you know. Oh, 50 weddings. Oh, wow. Awesome. I don't know who they are. every dedication there, and yeah, awesome. COVID, we got our first online service, and if you're able to follow us on that, we had the toilet paper family, and that went on for several weeks, so I'm hoping someday you get the whole thing on a DVD and let you listen to it. But that's John there. We used him as a Dancing with the Stars guy, so he even got math. Angela made the made our toilet paper people and the mask and stuff. It was awesome. And I said, listen, part of this is going to be Las Vegas, you know, the whole story, I won't go into it. And so I need a couple of toilet paper rolls to look like Las Vegas. She gave me Elvis and Mrs. Elvis and got on it, so. We'll go there, yep. Our Christmas party over at the fire station. And I can't forget the ugliest shirt contest. And, yeah, John and Rita put our pictures on. They won, I guess, ugliest. A sweater contest. And Miss Vicky there, her antlers. Now, who are that couple eating here, I wonder? Looks like Bob and Opal, doesn't it? And Vicky and I there, yep. They just... And we Chris McHale here during last year during the pandemic again. That the last one? Oh, wow. Hmm. But anyway, that's some of the things that, in a nutshell, there's more slides back there behind Rick and Lynn back here. But share a couple letters here. And the lives that you've touched through the ministry, and you guys have touched some people you might never know. You might never know their name. But I want to share this one updated letter I got here just recently. It was like 4 days ago. And when anytime I mention my name in the papers, it's the church, but they know the church here because of my name. You know, it's like, this is Starkey's Church, you got Mark's Church down on 7th Street, just because people refer to the pastor other than the name because they can't track it. But I got it just a few days ago, and it's talking about the ministry and how the lives that you touch here. And I got this in like 3 days ago. He comes to me and says, I really miss you. Miss you, Pastor Starkey. I wish you knew just how much your words, guidance, and faith, along with God's love, carried me when I could not stand alone. Throughout my addiction and on the road to recovery, on May the 15th, I will have 4 years clean and sober. Just know that you played a big part of not only keeping me alive and feeding me throughout my addiction, but you gave me strength and fueled my desire to get well. I'm still living, you get the location, and doing extremely well. I am truly happy. A few years ago, I thought it wasn't possible for me to ever be truly happy and blessed. But she says, look at me now. You know, it's one life that your ministry here has touched. And I know her. I've known her. I know her family and business in town. She's addicted to drugs, living a life of wildness. And the family tried everything. And they could not get a hold of her. And so what the family did, they cut off all ties to her. And I think there's a great teaching in this, because in reality, she was already dead. She was dead to her addiction. She was just walking around. She wasn't laid down yet. And the family had tried everything. There's nothing more they can do. She's got to hit rock bottom. Either she's going to get raised up or she'll be buried. Now, it might seem like a harsh decision, but the only decision they had left, they had tried everything. And praise God that your ministry here had that door open. And she came in here 4 years ago. Came in, strung out. You wouldn't give her $2 away. She looked this terrible. But man, she found acceptance here. She found love, found the Lord. And here we are 4 years later. She's on her feet. She's getting her nursing license back again. Her life is turned upside down again because of what you guys do here. You might say, well, I never work in the ministry. Hey, you pray. You pray for the ministry, you give to the ministry. That's just one life there that you've changed. I'm going to share a couple more letters here and we'll break bread. But just an encouragement here, man. Just, it seems like these letters come every time I get to the point like, okay, Lord, what are we doing here? Are we doing anything for you? Yeah, someone sent a letter in. Here's another one. It's a Reverend Starkey. They call me Reverend. Something kept telling me to come tonight. I know I've been through so much, messed up so much, didn't know which way to go. But I need the Lord in my life, now more than I ever did. I feel and I know I turn my back on God, and I'm so sorry. I really don't have no family. I have no family to talk to because of the choices that I made because of sin in my life. Drugs and alcohol. I ask God to forgive me, but I feel like no one cares. Please pray for me. She gave me a phone number. So I was homeless, lived in the woods for a week. Now I have a home, clothes on my back, and I was on the verge of killing myself. But this voice drew me to you. Thank you for talking to me that day. When I stopped, I have three sons. One's in prison. One lives down the street from me. The other one lives close by. I got two sisters. They hate me. Mom and Dad both have gone. I go through withdrawals every day. God always said that He won't put no more on your shoulder than you can handle. I'm still going through a lot of stuff, but with God's help and people like you, I know I'll make it. Thank you. Again, this is another letter, a life that you guys make a difference in, because that door was open that day. And so it was so nice receiving both cards you, and this is from ladies in prison, you have sent me. I can't thank you enough for the thoughts and prayers. It took me a little while to receive your card because they moved me from Marysville to Cleveland. So my mail had to be forwarded. I would like to ask for continued prayers. I am getting readjusted since I've got moved. But the place I'm at now is focused more on regeneration and how to help us get back on the right track. I am now involved in an apprenticeship to help me into the restaurant business. When I get out, also I'm working on my gate pass so I can be involved with lunch and with LMM, which is a church up here around Cleveland that does a bunch of community service and we do things such as speak outs to help educate kids. With my daughter's birthday being a few days away and this being my first time missing it, plus being so far away and alone, I have been struggling a little. So tonight when I got back into my room after work, I was really touched by Mrs. Bonnie's card. Philippians 4:13 was exactly what I needed to hear today and be reminded. Sometimes I forget that I need to let go of the struggles and remember I am exactly where I need to be. And this is all because of God's plan. So again, thank you for the card and the reminder. If it's not too much to ask, please keep my family and myself in your prayers for my health and strength. I appreciate all you all very much. Sometimes being in prison, you feel very forgotten. It seems easier for people to keep the out of sight, out of mind attitude. So thank you for all that you do for us. She signed her name. So on the cards that you send to those incarcerated, it makes a difference. I mean, don't ever think that a card, a Bible scripture, you know. This lady, particular lady here, I'll share one more letter from her, but she came into this ministry years ago, and she walked in the door. She was strung out. I mean, she was like weighed 80 pounds. And she had this coat on. In the back of her coat, she has the F word printed on the back of it big time and just sat down to eat dinner. And so I walked over to her and I said, Miss, I said, do you mind? I said, I'm glad you're here, but could you take your coat off? We got kids around here. She said, oh, I'm sorry. Took her coat off, ate dinner. And I started a relationship through the ministry with her. And she has got busted, thank God. She got busted for drugs. She went to prison. Took the Lord with her. She's back out now, living up north. She's helping other people recover. And that's like the last letter I had from the lady. She's in, even though she's getting her license back as a nurse, she's also helping people through recovery also. But she said this. She says, I've been thinking about your church a lot, and I've been wanting to write to tell you all thank you and wish you all a very Merry Christmas. I'm not sure you know how much your church helped me over the last year. The meals I ate there were a lot of times the only meal I ate during the day, and I can recall times when it was nighttime. I was at the old Park Hotel lot, and you would let me get donuts and water. And there was also numerous times when my clothing had been stolen, or I had to leave them somewhere because I had got myself into a sticky situation. And I came to your church and was able to find what I needed. Although I never knew the gentleman's name, there was a member of your church also stopped at the Park Hotel lot on most weekends and dropped off bags of donuts with Capri drinks or water. All these things most took for granted, but I am unsure if I ever took the time to really thank you for all that you do and all these actions. They were all very greatly appreciated. There's one thing I love more than anything. Every single person I spoke to in your church treated me like I was still human. I know that everyone knew I was homeless and on drugs, but not one single person ever made me feel like I was less of a person. Most of the time I was made to feel like as long as I kept fighting to stay alive, I was still worth fighting for. Thanks, the greatest gift I've ever been given. That's the greatest gift I've ever been given. The streets of Coshocton had become filled with so much evil and temptation, it was nice to have a safe place to sit, even for a little while. I know that you had prayed both with and for me before, and I would like to ask if you would continue to do so. I know I have spoken to a little about the trouble I had gotten into, but I'm sure you probably recognized me on the front page of the paper last week. And this is a letter a year or so old. I wish I would have stayed in detox instead of getting scared and running away. And she went to detox, got herself straightened around in there a few weeks, and she got scared, and she took off and fell right back in the streets again. The judge probably would not have sent me here. On the other hand, I am thankful. After James passed away, James was her boyfriend that we ministered here, and I spent one night sharing the gospel with him, and we had a crying spell together, and he was going to go on the following Monday in the detox, and this was on Thursday. And on Saturday, he had a hot box in his arm, and he died. But that has happened several times through your ministry here over the years, probably 12 or 13 people I can think of. That's been through here, heard about the Lord, ministered to, and they OD'd and they died. And I'll say this, I thank God they come through here. You know, I don't know what the last words were. I don't know what they did with what the gospel was shared with them. But I have a blessed hope that someday I'll see them again. I'll see what they're doing. Because remember this, when we get born again, born of the Spirit takes place right now. It's a cardinal we have to fight. And a person can still be born again and stick that needle in their arms fighting that addiction. And so remember, don't ever think someone isn't worth ministering to. And don't ever think that you're worthless. Don't ever think that you have done anything to help people, because you have done so much. So after James passed away, I got worse. And instead of asking for help, I got worse. This is why I did not fight my case. I truly believe this is exactly where God wants me to be. Although prison is a little scary, I have become more humble than I was. I truly believe prison saved my life. I'm sorry this letter turned out so long. Since I have been here, I have learned how to crochet and been doing tons of community service, making vanity mats for homeless. My ultimate goal is to bring back to Coshocton and to help. I also want to give back to your church as much as you have given me. I'm hoping for judicial release to be out in May, if I can. I'll make a good plan for myself where I do not end up back on the streets again. If I have to do my whole 2 years, that's what I'm going to do and make the best of it. Always, I just wanted to thank you all, and hopefully one day I can do so personally and wish you all a very Merry Christmas. I hope you all recognize that all that you are doing does make a difference in people's lives, even if we don't always see or say thank you. And then this lady would end up getting her judicial release denied, which was the best thing. She did her full time. A year later, she got permission to visit her children. She was separated from her kids for like 3 years because of her addictions and stuff. And God is still working in her life. She's up north yet, still serving people and reaching out. So I've got several more letters I could share with you, but I'll just stop with that. But this is the difference that you've made in people's lives. Who knows? I mean, you touch their lives and they go to prison, and while they're in prison, they share the gospel with someone else, and they get out, and they work in a homeless shelter, they found what God has done. I mean, you talk about a testimony. I mean, to have someone to be able to show, I got pictures of some of them where they used to be skin and bones and dying, and now they're plump and they got rosy cheeks and they got a purpose in life. So again, if you know anyone that's incarcerated, the Lord lead you to drop them a line or two. But that's just some of the things that people have done and that you have done. And again, I said I won't go on and read any more today, but you got to speak up. Yeah, we've got five people right now that we write to every month, and somebody out here also write to people, and it makes a difference. Just a card thinking of you, you know, in that dungeon hole, and for one another. So, but I had one letter one time I received in the mail, and this was several years ago, and it says, my wife has had a major cancer operation and has some setbacks. Would you please pray for her to get well soon? Thanks. P.S. When she gets better, we plan to come some Sunday morning to your church services. We hope to see you soon, and may God bless you and your faith. And so we prayed for the lady, called him and prayed, and God raised her up and healed her of cancer. And come to church every year, years, and her husband also. And their name is Joe and Kathy Kirker. What a blessing they are. I mean, it's just, so when you pray for folks, again, expect God to move. The word is true. So, you might have a comment, testimony this morning you want to share or anything in ministry? We won't do communion here yet. Okay. We're going to break bread today and remind ourselves that Jesus, when he shared communion, he shared with, he had 12 people. And look what the difference has been made because of 12 people that followed Jesus. We're here today because as Christ was crucified, his body rose up again, they caught on fire for him, and the word of God kept going out, and the salvation message kept going out and going out. And we're sitting here today because we've heard that message from somewhere by somebody at one time, and our lives have been surrendered to the Master, and we're following him. And as we continue to worship him, follow him, and share the gospel, live for him, we're touching more and more lives. He's coming back soon. We know that. But may I encourage us to draw closer to him. Put the things of this world behind you. Put the frustrations of this world behind you. Just rest in him. Just follow him and let him, let the Lord control your life completely. And do what his word says. If you got things in your past that, boy, you really messed up, trust in the Lord. Okay? I mean, a couple of ladies there, you know, they gave their life to Christ. They still had to go to prison to pay for their crimes, you know, but they went with a different attitude. They went with, man, what can I do when I get out again? And so there might be things in our past that we're still hanging, that still got a hold of us, but God set us free from that when we give our life to Christ. Just let God work it out for you. Let him work it out for you. Just keep your eyes on him, because you are worth it. Understand that. He died on the cross for you and me. Our sins in the past are in the past. It's basically this time that we're living in. Don't let Satan close you up, because someone's threatened to say something about your past. Hey, my past, you're going to bring it up, you're bringing it up, all I can say is under the blood. And we got to learn to do that, because, man, it's awesome to be living at a time like this. Amen? Amen.